from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
What's better than watching your team win? Winning money while you do it. I'm Jim Costa, and on Cash the Ticket, Mike Valeni and I give you the edge to make every game playable. College football, NFL, we're breaking it all down game by game. Your podcast feed is going to be filled, and you're going to love it. You can click on the games you care about. We do it all. With our analysis, we're finding games that other people aren't talking about. We're turning every Saturday and every Sunday into days where you got a chance to win. Don't just sit on the sidelines. Cash the Ticket with us. Follow Cash the Ticket in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, welcome to Bustin' Balls. I'm Pat Caputo along with the webmaster extraordinaire, Evan Jenkins. And we talk about drafts, prospects, and the future. And nothing's more about the future of football than college football. And Michigan and Michigan State, the season is arriving. And Evan, it's like the weirdest thing. Both schools, I mean, that's understandable for Michigan State, but it's unbelievable the lack of respect the Spartans are getting. But so is Michigan. Michigan ranked 9th in the AP poll. That wasn't too bad, but behind Penn State. And then USA Today comes out with a poll and has Michigan, like they're, since the start of fall camp, has them 16th, right in between Kansas State and North Carolina State. We're talking about the defending national champs, and I get it. Ohio State's loaded and all that, and Michigan's schedule is a lot tougher than it was last year, but Michigan's better than that. I mean, we're not talking about their scandal and all these other things that happen, and we're talking about their football team. They're going to have a hell of a football team, and I'll go on the record right now, and I'll say that Michigan will be 10-2 this year. I think Michigan will get into college football playoff, and they'll have a chance. When you have Will Johnson, you have Mason Graham, you have Kenneth Grant, you have Colston Loveland, your star back is Donovan Edwards. I get it. They got to figure out the quarterback position, but I think Orgy's pretty good. And, hell, Will Howard wouldn't even be starting at Kansas State if he stayed there. So, you think Quinn Ewers is so great? I mean, I think – that when you look at Michigan's, they're a pretty good team.
Well, Pat, I don't echo all those statements that you have.
Well, you're a Sparty.
That's true, but looking at it through a football angle, I mean, I know Colston Loveland, big kid, athletic kid. He's one of the best tight ends in the nation. But the problem is you do have to get the football in his hands. And Alex Orgy is a guy who has thrown one pass in his career at the University of Michigan. And they still haven't named him the starting quarterback. I guess it's down to him and former walk-on Davis Webb, where I do imagine that Alex Orgy is the starting quarterback. I would still have a little bit of reservations with Donovan Edwards. Last year, he ran for about 300 yards in the regular season, and he's not a guy that's a prototypical Michigan back that hits through the tackles. He's a guy that wants to hit the edges and hit seams like that. So I think that's a question. But then you also have his backup. Is it Mullins that Khalil Mullins or something along those lines? The kid that was the former linebacker that came in. I think you're absolutely correct about the defense with Grant and Graham and Will Johnson. Now, if teams are smart, you don't throw to Will Johnson's side of the field. So then those other corners have to step up in their safety. And they lost Keon Sabb to Alabama. He was going to play a major role for them this year. And they have two new linebackers as well this year, one coming in from Nebraska. And I forget where the other one is coming in, but they're being highly touted. And I think the ranking is right where they are is because there are those question marks that you don't know. You lost, what, 13 guys to the NFL draft. That's very hard to replace those guys. And when speaking about Penn State, I think the people that make these rankings, they just see a returning Drew Aller, who is, what, going to be a junior this year. They have those two backs that are there, and they're returning a lot of their team from last year. Now, do I have the confidence that Drew Aller is actually going to be a good quarterback? Probably not, based on what we saw last year, but everybody can grow. And the only other thing I would say is, like, I do know that Will Howard, like Avery Johnson, was going to start over him at Kansas State. But you could have said the same thing about Joe Burrow, where he wouldn't have started at Ohio State before he went to LSU. So I think there's a lot of question marks going into this season. And I do think top 10 is an appropriate rating for them coming into the year, only because and also, Pat, let's be honest with the with our listeners. Michigan's not a team that needs great quarterback play to be successful. So I think people are overplaying that a little bit because they are a handoff machine, and then you got to beat them with play action and sometimes with your feet, like J.J. McCarthy did. And J.J. McCarthy was one hell of a quarterback, obviously a top 10 pick in the NFL draft. So you're replacing that as well. And do I still think Michigan's going to be good? Yes, I think they're more of a 9-3 team, so we're splitting hairs with our actual record here, Pat. So I do think that they're going to be a very good team, but it's just a question mark of when times get tough, is Sharon Moore going to be the right play call, all of those types of deals. I know that he coached games last year for Michigan, and I still believe in my heart of hearts those were still all Jim Harbaugh's play calls. He was still running those practices, so for me, there's still some question marks. But having said all that, three losses, I think, still gets you in the college football playoff.
If you're Michigan, there's no way Michigan has three losses and doesn't get into a 12-team field.
Correct.
There's no way. So, like, this USA Today thing kind of fascinates me because it would put them at 8-4. And yeah. I looked at this and examined it. You know, they're missing some offensive linemen, right?
Yeah.
But their defense should be very strong. I know they picked up your favorite player from Michigan State, Magnum, to play safety for them. They added some depth. But I think this whole thing with Michigan is based on they didn't go out and get a transfer portal quarterback.
Yeah.
They didn't go out and, you know, but I'm looking at the quarterbacks that have come into the Big Ten. And I'm like, really? Taylor Van Dyke or Tyler Van Dyke? I mean, Will Howard? I mean, Ohio State brings in Quishon Judkins from Mississippi, this great back. They bring in the best defensive back maybe in the country, right up there with Will Johnson, Caleb Downs. And Chip Kelly's now their friggin' offensive coordinator, right? They're going balls to the wall. I get it. But they only brought in Will Howard. I mean, come on. I mean, Will Howard's like, I mean, you talk about it, a prototypical Ohio State quarterback. I mean, he's nothing like you would just saw with Justin Fields or C.J. Stroud or some of them that weren't like NFL guys, you know, like Barnett or Barrett and some of those other players in the past. You know, he's just – I mean, that's their answer, and their backup's still Devin Brown. So I'm looking at Michigan, and everybody's talking about Orgy, and I'm not so sure he's worse.
Yeah, well, I think just with Ohio State, they're looking at those two backs and Judkins and Travion Henderson, and Uboka is back.
Oh, they got receivers galore, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think they're looking at that, and then the transfer Caleb Downs on a defense that was already – pretty good, but you know they're going all in. But then you look at like Oregon, they brought in Dylan Gabriel from Oklahoma, who had a pretty damn solid year last year. And I think Oregon's I think they're kind of built like a Big Ten team where they want to run the football before they pass, and they have a good defense. So I think Oregon's going to be a big, big factor. I think USC in the Big Ten, I think, is going to put some people on notice. I don't think they're the USC of past with Reggie Bush and Matt Leinart and those guys. But I do think Miller Moses is a pretty good quarterback. Moss. Yeah, he's been pretty good in camp and everything. They have this Zachariah Branch. It's a burner on the outside offensively. And they're coming to the big house this year. And I also don't think, like, Fresno State is some slouch that's coming in game one in that night game, that they're going to be able to move the ball a little bit. Now, I do think Michigan's going to win. Are they going to win by what I think I saw, a line of 22.5 points? That's pretty ambitious, but we'll have to wait and see. But I do agree with you, Pat. I think other than Oregon and Ohio State, they're at the top. The rest of the Big Ten is just going to be cannibalizing themselves, and I think Michigan is actually going to be faring pretty well.
There's so much on the schedule now.
Yeah.
You know, and the one thing that, like, Iowa, for example, has an easy schedule. And they got McNamara back and parts of a real good defense. So they'll get a lot of play. But here's the thing I want you to consider about Michigan. You know, it's a big if, okay? But looking at their schedule, if they beat Texas and that game is in Ann Arbor.
Yep.
All of a sudden, man, everybody's talking about him as top three.
Oh, absolutely.
And you know, if the game were in Austin, I would think differently. If it were down in Jerry's world, I would think differently. But in the big house, Texas is going to walk in and walk over him. I don't see it. I just don't see it. And then you look at Oregon, that game is in Ann Arbor. USC is in Ann Arbor. You know, who are they going to, you know, those games are going to be tough. And people think I'm crazy, but I think the toughest game they're going to have maybe is to go out to Washington and try to win. Washington isn't that good. They don't have Penix anymore. Obviously, DeBoer's gone to Alabama, Odunze, all those guys are gone. But Washington's going to be going nuts because Michigan beat them in the national championship, and that's hard. But schedule means so much, and those games, all those key games are in Ann Arbor. You know, I mean, that's different. For Oregon, I know they came to Ohio State and won a few years ago and everything, but it's a whole different world that these teams are entering. And I don't know, you know, I look at Oregon, and Dillon Gabriel's the favorite to win the Heisman Trophy. I mean, that's the real deal when he came in. You know, I have no problem with people getting excited about Dillon Gabriel and thinking he's good or Oregon. But they're going to suffer a couple losses, too. Like you said, you use the word cannibalize. These teams are going to cannibalize each other. The USC doesn't have a defense still. I mean, they're trying. And Moss, he threw 6 touchdown passes in that bowl game, so obviously he's pretty good. But, you know, I mean, USC has been kind of a struggling entity.
Yeah.
So, and I, you know, I looked at the ESPN predictor. They've got Michigan significantly underdog against Texas, Oregon, and Ohio State. And I understand Ohio State with that. Ohio State and Georgia are the best two teams in the country.
Well, yeah, and I mean, even with Michigan's run over Ohio State, they still only have one win at Ohio State in the last 20 years. So, I mean, some of that does still factor in.
Yeah, so I'm not saying they're necessarily going to, you know, dominate. And the question I have after what they did last year, what season would be good enough for Michigan?
I think 9-3 is the floor for Michigan fans to be happy with this year, because as we stated at the start, that gets them in the college football playoff. And I really don't think you can ask for more than that with everything they lost. Let's not take it lightly. That coaching staff is new as well. Jim Harbaugh brought a lot of Michigan dudes with him out to LA. Minter left. I mean, all of this stuff is going to be new. You got Wink Martindale, who quote unquote is the originator of that defense that they have been running. But if you read stories about him, he wasn't going to get another NFL job, and it looked like he burned his bridges with the Giants, and the Giants defense wasn't anything to write home about. So is he going to be closer to the Minter and those kind of guys, or is he going to be more Don Brown, where he's selling out more and more? So I think there are questions with the coaching staff, but I mean, Sharon was there. He kept them together. It seems like he's still going with his Harbaugh-isms. I don't know if you saw, he has the small M on his hat, unlike other coaches. So he's going back to his bow days because, you know, there's a correlation there. And those would be my reservations, because this is something we haven't seen from Michigan football in, what, 8 years? You know what I mean? Just completely different, but yet still the same.
Yeah, it'll be interesting. As far as the Spartans are concerned.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
It's not just about watching the game, it's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch, from the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it, it's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket, follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I don't think they're going to be as bad as people are thinking. I mean, they're honestly, people put them just above Indiana, and that's the only team in the Big Ten. I think every other team is better than Michigan State. I looked at that ESPN thing, kind of fascinated me, because that's the perception as the season's about to begin. They have them number 79.
They have a top 80, Pat.
Top 80, and they have Florida Atlantic, who they open up with, two spots ahead of Michigan State, and Miami of Ohio, number 60. So you're telling me if Michigan State plays Miami of Ohio, they don't win the game?
They better.
But they, you know, I mean, so just looking at this, you know, they, if Florida Atlantic's better than them, who are they going to beat? Louisiana, maybe? That's usually a pretty good team in the Sun Belt. I'm just looking at it and thinking, nah, they're better than this. They're going to be at least 6-6. And I'll tell you why. If you look at all the quarterbacks in that league, who's better than Childs?
Well, in his limited time with Oregon State, you know, he got one drive a game as a true freshman. He played pretty damn well. But just listening to this young man talk, I think that was a humbling experience for him, where he wasn't the man. And obviously so, because he was behind DJU there, who was a big transfer coming in. But Jonathan Smith still saw, I have to play this kid. You don't see that with a lot of true freshman quarterbacks. I mean, go look at Michigan, go look at Ohio State. They both have highly touted true freshman quarterbacks. They're most likely not going to play this year. Matter of fact, right? Even J.J. McCarthy, like, they had to get that kid in when he was playing. And Aiden Childs, he was talking about how he has a great grasp on this offense. And people, yeah, they saw him play last year, but they didn't really get to see what the kid can do, because in one series, you can only do so much. You're probably trying not to make a mistake so you can stay on the field longer and not really letting it loose. And I think success for this Michigan State Spartans team is on his shoulders, but also on the offensive line's shoulders. Because I think if Aiden Childs stays healthy, then this team is going to be a force, because, yeah, they're still going to try to run the ball with Nate Carter. They have another transfer that came in, I believe, from UMass. And they're still going to try to probably be to the, true to that form.
Yeah, K-Ron Lynch Adams.
Yeah, run first and then pass. But with Jack Valling there from Oklahoma or Oregon State, that kid's a touchdown machine. You got to think that they're trying to get him in. You got Nick Marsh. You got Antonio Gates Jr. You got Glover still there. You got Montori Foster. These are kids that have all played a lot of college football, other than Nick Marsh, who's a true freshman coming in. But you got to think at least on the offensive side of the ball, and Jonathan Smith has shown in his Oregon State time that they can score points, that you'll at least be able to do that. My question is going to be the defense, and they brought in Joe Rossi from Minnesota, who was a pretty damn good defensive coordinator there, and you got to expect they're going to take leaps and bounds from the previous 2 years under Mel Tucker, because that was a train wreck defensively. I think if you put me out there for enough plays, I would have gotten a few yards against that defense. So I think people are downplaying them just because there's so many I don't know factors with this team. You know what I mean? Like, you got coaches coming in from the West Coast that have never really coached out here in the Midwest or the East, wherever the hell you want to call it. But I think it's going to be an interesting transition period. Can you remember the last time Michigan and Michigan State have both had new head coaches in the same year? That's kind of crazy to think about, isn't it?
Well, it just hasn't happened.
Right.
I mean, you could go way back, and it just hasn't happened. I mean, because Bo was at Michigan forever, Lloyd was at Michigan forever, and Mo was there for a couple years, but there was no transition when he came in. D'Antonio had a long run, so I don't know when you can go back and find that. That's a great question. I mean, somebody would have had the answer to that already. I can do it off the top of my head, but, you know,
it may have never happened for all we can think of, but it's just there's so many questions. But at the same time, Pat, I think you're right. They win six games. I think that's a successful year for the Spartans, and some Spartan fans might not want to hear that. But that gets you into a bowl game, that gets you a few extra weeks of practice, and that gets your quarterback, Aiden Childs, even more confidence, I think, going into next year, and let's hope that he stays there for a year, because the transfer portal is crazy. But to have a true sophomore running your offense in an offense that he already knows, I think you're going to be leaps and bounds ahead than if he came in here and it was the two quarterbacks they had last year, and Caden Hauser and Sam Levitt, who is now the starting quarterback at Arizona State.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I guess Noah Kim, that's another quarterback that transferred out. But I'm optimistic, but at the same time, I'm expecting for my heart to get broken. But I do expect them to win a game that they probably shouldn't this year. I'm not saying that's going to be the Michigan game or anything like that, but I think you're going to see special things out of Aiden Childs, and it all comes down to those five dudes that are in front of him. Can the offensive line keep him healthy when they need to? Obviously, he's going to take hits if he breaks contain and decides to run and stuff like that. But when he's in the pocket, do you give this kid enough time to succeed?
Well, he's a pocket passer. What he does well is touch on the football. And here's a prediction for you. You mentioned Velling. Everybody knows about that. He's an NFL kid. Montori Foster is going to have a big year. That's sometimes they have breakout receivers like Lippitt. Remember that?
Yep.
Or
he was a cornerback before he even played receiver.
Montori Foster is ready to pop, I think, and have a big year. I watched them, you know, obviously their spring game and just looking at it. Also, Jonathan Smith, at first, because I just didn't trust Michigan State.
Neither did I.
You know, when they hired Jonathan Smith, I was unimpressed. This guy, complete different than Tuck. All right? There's no, like, Tuck coming or anything. This guy's just under the radar working. That's all. And I think it's going to pay off for them. They're not going to beat Oregon. They're not going to beat Michigan. And they're not going to beat Ohio State. But the question is, they play at Maryland early. Can they win that game? Can they avoid an upset against Florida Atlantic, which isn't that bad? The Boston College road game is going to be important.
Yeah, their quarterback, Castellanos, is a good player, too.
Very good. No relation to Nick. And they were 7-6 last year. They're not bad, but they're not. It's like a classic example of a team that's not that bad, but really not that good.
Exactly. I view them as that Miami team a couple years ago when Michigan State went down there and got that win, which propelled them to that season that they had. But I think it's very similar to that, obviously, and it's still an ACC team as well. But that's the way that I look at that game.
So, looking at it, and, I think the Spartans will be better than people think. But the key games, you know, they give Michigan State the big closer against Rutgers now. You know, Purdue's
a little bit better.
You know, Indiana, Illinois, you know, it depends on what you think. Bielman's been there for a while. They got Altmyer's their quarterback. He's back. I don't know. Iowa, they've got Iowa at home. That'll be a game that'll be a test. I don't know.
Did you see Kirk Ferentz and their offensive coordinator were suspended again?
Suspended, yeah, for early recruiting Cade McNamara. Who would have thought Iowa would do that? Oh, my God. But they got it. You know, Tim Lester's their offensive coordinator.
I know.
He's the head coach at Western. And I don't know how much better their offense will be. That quarterback they had last year was brutal. But the quarterback that they have this year, Cade McNamara, is a pretty good quarterback.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Looking at the conference overall, you know, one of the sleeper teams, believe it or not, is probably Rutgers.
Yeah, Schiano is one hell of a coach, and they're putting together – they have a good ground game there. You know, they play tough football. They're a team that, like, nobody's going to be like, they're going to win the Big Ten, but it's also a team that, like, you don't want to face. You know what I mean? They're going to give you their all.
Their schedule is easy.
Yeah.
But the quarterback position has been a problem there, so I don't know. They brought in the kid from Minnesota that played last year.
Oh, the Greek god?
Yeah. I don't even know how to pronounce his name. Athon Kalamatis, you know, is the name.
We all know who he is.
Yeah, and the backup is not somebody that is a threat. So I wonder about them, but they got the break, man. They got to be really happy that they don't have to play those different teams like Ohio State, Michigan. Michigan State was rolling when they first got into the conference, and, of course, Penn State. It's pretty tough. You know, Maryland, I don't know, Loxley's done a good job, but they don't have Tua's brother anymore.
Yeah, they're making that transition. I think his name is Brown, number 9, the big white kid that ran it against Michigan. He would just come in for, like, goal line carries, and he played well. He was a true freshman last year. He's going to be a true sophomore, so you expect to see more out of him, but he's a lot like Alex Orji, where he didn't throw very many passes in the games. He was more of a runner, so... But this is the Big Ten football, and it's still a run game conference. Like, matter of fact, I mean, Oregon and Ohio State are trying to change it a little bit. But, Pat, I'll tell you what, I'm so excited for this year with the new teams, with the new conference, with the new look Big Ten, and not having these divisions. Like, I'm happy that that's gone. Do I want to see Michigan and Ohio State play 3 weeks in a row? Probably not, but would I? Absolutely. But you could get something like that, you know what I mean? Where they fail the last week of the year, and if they're there, then they're going to play in the Big Ten title game. And guess what? They could also play in the college football playoff. And it's just wild, and I'm just so anxious to see this 12-team playoff and who gets in. Do you think the Big Ten gets 4 teams in?
Yeah, I do.
Do you think that taints the playoff a little bit if they get 4 and the SEC gets 4 and the rest of all of college football gets 3 because that group of 5 or whatever, they get 1 automatically?
Right, but what other conference? ACC? You know, who's really good in the – you got Notre Dame factor, right? You got to factor that in.
But Big 12 isn't what they were.
Clemson opens Georgia, and they haven't used the transfer portal hardly at all.
None.
So I don't know if Clemson's going to be a team that necessarily is. Florida State's good, really good. There might be
DJU.
But that's the problem. That's their quarterback.
Watch out
for Miami. They got Ward. That kid can play from Washington State, Cam Ward. That's a team that I think is under the radar. I look at the Big 12, probably the best team in the Big 12 is Utah.
Yes, Cam Rising's back.
Cam Rising's back, and Whittingham always has that team ready. The other teams that have gone in there, like Houston's not good. UCF doesn't look good. Cincinnati's not, you know, kind of a threat. So all those teams, it's kind of like the effect when Penn State went into the Big Ten, all of a sudden they weren't as good.
Right.
Nebraska went into the Big Ten not as good. So, I don't know. You got your usual suspects there, like Iowa State or Kansas State. Should have a pretty good team this year.
I'm intrigued to watch Nebraska and Dylan Raiola play this year.
Yeah, but that's another thing. He's a freshman. And honest to God, Evan, all those times we were watching Dominic Raiola play, did you think he'd have a big-time quarterback recruit, son?
Never. Never.
Like an undersized center, you know?
It's crazy, but one of the top recruits in the nation went to Georgia, went to Nebraska, went to Georgia. Like, he flipped and flopped, but he found his way, and now he looks like Patrick Mahomes, at least physically, with his hair and everything. But
you we'll look at the SEC. Yeah, look at the SEC, though. You know, you got Georgia, Alabama's going to be good. Milroe's a good quarterback. You look at a team
I think
like
Ole
Texas.
Miss is going to be good.
Ole Miss with, you know, they got Dart back, and, you know, Lane Kiffin's got them rolling.
You know, what does LSU do under Brian
I don't know.
Kelly
I don't know about LSU, but, yeah, Kelly's a good coach. And, you know, they lost a lot of talent, but they, you know, they're loaded. So it's a conference. You never know when a team like, you know, kind of rolls up a lot of people like North Carolina State, you know, is kind of a,
I think
it's out of the ACC,
sneaky good,
you know, out of the, ACC, you know, it's going to be interesting to see what North Carolina and how they react. You know, it's just, I don't know. It could be a situation where four would get tough, but if Michigan has three losses,
they're in.
Ohio State's going to get in. There's no question they'll be in the college football playoff.
I don't think
there's any Oregon's going to be in.
And I think Penn State.
You know,
Penn State's built for a 12-team playoff, Pat. They lose three games religiously.
Yeah, but is Penn State going to get
They just
the
need
cachet?
To win one of those big games. You know what I mean?
Yeah, they have to knock off one of the top teams on their schedule. And I don't know. Their schedule isn't exactly that difficult. You know, they get UCLA in USC, not Oregon.
Right.
And, you know, they don't – they have a home game against Ohio State and a home game against Washington. So their schedule is one that could put them at 10-2. And with that schedule, though, if they're 9-3, I don't think they get in.
Okay.
And the SEC teams – they get a lot of, you know, consideration because the conference is so strong.
Yep.
So, you know, Penn State plays Mississippi or something. How is that going to work out? I mean, they'll go with Mississippi, you know. So
I agree with that.
They'll go with LSU. So anybody that's kind of close. You know, Auburn's not good.
No.
But they got, you know, Oklahoma, for example. I don't know what Oklahoma is this year, but, you know, if Oklahoma's a 3-win team and Penn State's a 3-win team, who gets in? It'll be about who can get the highest TV ratings and create, like what you talked about, the best matchup possible.
Yep, I agree with that 100%. TV is going to come into play.
But anyway, we enjoyed doing the podcast today. Evan getting all excited. I'm with you on this, Evan. You know, a lot of people have said, I'm turned off by college football because of the NIL.
I don't care.
You know, all that stuff. The super conferences. There are so many cool games this year. It's unbelievable. This is going to be great. And that college football playoff will now be like the NCAA tournament and the NFL playoffs. It hasn't quite hit the way you would anticipate in the past. But it will now, so I'm looking forward to it. Hey, do us a favor, man. Download us, Apple iTunes Store, Google Play Store, Odyssey.com. You can get us our podcast best, Pat Caputo 98 on Twitter, the King of the Gentmen or whatever it is.
Gentmen Jenkins.
On Twitter. And Facebook page of the station and the also the X, formerly known as Twitter, page of the station, and we appreciate it very much. Till next time, we'll talk to you.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's not just about watching the game. It's about betting on it. I'm Mike Valeni, and on Cash the Ticket, Jim Costa and I break down every college football and NFL matchup like it's the last game we're ever going to watch. From the best bets to the sneaky underdogs, and of course, as my co-host likes to say, the value. And the one thing we're not going to do is pretend we're professionals. We have fun with it. It's an entertainment product, and it makes watching games a hell of a lot of fun. So Cash the Ticket. Follow it in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.